Getting started with solo RPGs can be a really daunting task. There's so much information out there, and sifting through it can feel like a full-time job. And despite all of it that's out there, it can be very hard to figure out just where to start. Something straightforward that says, do this, then do that. Well, here's the thing. Before you play any solo RPGs, you need to figure out what game you're going to play. And there are different types of solo RPG games out there. Step one is picking the one that's best for you. I put together a little PDF that details different types of solo RPG games and also walks you through the pros and cons of each, so you can decide what you want out of your solo RPG journey. Do you just like running through dungeons, killing monsters, or journaling from your character's point of view? Or do you want an in-depth story and you're really excited to jump on both sides of the screen, being both the player and your own game master? This PDF details all those types of games and more, as well as concrete examples so you know what to buy next. You can get it by going to crumblingkeep.com/solo. That's crumblingkeep.com/solo. Let's get you playing with yourself. Hey, my name is James, and if you want to know the best hangover breakfast you can have, white rice, soft scrambled eggs, Spam, and a fried hash brown patty, all in Japanese curry. I'm here to dork out about dungeons and design on Crumbling Keeps, The Dungeon Dork. Knock, knock. Who's there? Let me in. There's monsters out here. I can't. I don't have the key. I've been playing for the first time in my life Final Fantasy I lately. And it's got me thinking about gates and keys. See, in the game, it's an open world game, so theoretically, you can go anywhere at any time, except that you can't. The map shows the whole world that's available, but you can't get to it right away. So at first, the king tells you that his daughter is kidnapped, and if you can save her from the Chaos Shrine, he'll rebuild the bridge to the north. Okay, seems like a strange bargaining tactic, but that aside, until that happens, you only have a small area that you can actually explore and adventure in. But once that bridge is built, it opens up the whole northern part of the continent. So what is that bridge? For our intents and purposes, it's a gate and it's a key. The gate is the bridge, or lack of bridge, and the key is saving the princess. And then from there, eventually, once that part of the map is open, spoiler alerts, in case you've never played the game, there's a little town full of pirates. And if you kill the pirate king, I guess some people call that a captain if they like words to actually mean things. If you kill the pirate captain, you get the pirate ship. And then you can take off into the seas. But the ship can only land where there's a port. So still, there's much of the map you can't get to, and you're stuck in what really amounts to one big lake, land all around it. But eventually, you get the items you need to make the canal. And then eventually, you get the items you need to go down rivers as well. And so, while the game is an open-world game, returning to places you have been before with these new keys These items that allow exploration that wasn't previously possible just opens up new swaths of the board. Now, one of the interesting things about this is even if none of those barriers existed, even if all those gates weren't there, you wouldn't want to just go to wherever the end game happens, because you would get nuked. Each of these new areas, the monsters are so much tougher. So, in a sense, these gates are, at least partially, for the player's protection. You don't bring your first level party into a 20th level dungeon. It's been a fun time playing this game, and it really has me dwelling on gates and keys and what they can mean for RPGs. There's obviously a lot of things in the first Final Fantasy that were Dungeons & Dragons derived. It's hard to argue against it. There's mind flayers. Like, come on. The spellcasting system? It's not magic points. It's slots, and there's different spell levels. Final Fantasy wouldn't exist without Dungeons & Dragons. So, they got these ideas from somewhere. The gate and the keys. And they're not the only ones. If you look at other open world games that don't really happen in stages, like, say, like a lot of like the Metroidvanias of the world, once you get the ability to double jump, you can get to places you've never been able to get to before, that ledge that was just a little too high. Or like even the first Legend of Zelda, you get the candle and you can burn the hedges and get to dungeons you couldn't get to before. And so thinking about ways that that works in tabletop RPGs, it seems like maybe that doesn't seem as realistic, but there's published campaign settings that have done just that. And one of my favorites that I think fits this bill really nicely is Planescape. So I haven't got the new 5e edition of Planescape, so some of the information that I mention here might not now be true in current canon, or whatever you want to call that. But Planescape was largely about Sigil, a city full of portals to anywhere in the multiverse you could hope to go. Now that seems like a really great way to overwhelm a dungeon master, right? Where do you want to go today, kids? The elemental plane of fire? Biotopia? The abyss? How do you plan for that? Well, you need gates and you need keys, and in this case, it's pretty literal on both of those things, the gates being the portals to these realms, and the keys being keys of sorts. Not every portal, but many portals in Planescape. Well, first, the first barrier is you need to know where they are. Yeah, absolutely. Somewhere in Sigil, there is a portal to the elemental plane of fire. Does your first level little nobody know where that is? No, you don't know your ass from the hole in the ground. You certainly don't know where the portal is. But let's say you do. It's in the Great Forge. Obviously. But you need a gate key to make it work. And a gate key can be some sort of action or a physical item. Like maybe you need to touch your tongue to the roof of your mouth and swirl your belly button in a clockwise motion while you go through the gate to get to the elemental plane of fire. Otherwise, you just walk into one of the big blazes in the Great Forge and you're kind of sad about it. So, you then need to know what the gate key is. And what if it wasn't an action? What if it was you need a fancy hat with a cockatrice's eyeball on top of it? Well, now that's something you have to go find. So this is very Final Fantasy-esque in the terms of you need these gate keys to get through these gates, and it's going to be an adventure and quest just for that. You're ultimate destination might be the elemental plane of fire, but you're going to go through hell and back to get there, and with Planescape, possibly literally. Another big example is Ravenloft, especially classic Ravenloft. Now, everyone knows Barovia has the mists, the fog around it, where you, if you wander off into the fog, you wander back out again, right back into Barovia. And that is something commanded by the Dark Lord of the Domain. Strahd decides who gets to leave and who stays. In classic Ravenloft, every realm, every domain rather, had its own version of the fog, be it a wall of fire or tons of undead. There was something that would keep the players in that domain until the Dark Lord said you could go. Which plays into some horror tropes about isolation, but we'll get into that in a future episode. So this gate and key thing, it isn't new. There's a lot of ways you could factor it into your tabletop game. And it could be, get the physical item to go through the door. But there's social keys as well. What if you need to see the queen? Well, you can't see the queen until you have an audience. What do you need to do to get an audience? If I was a queen, I wouldn't just be letting Joe Adventurer come and hang out with me just because he said we were cool, right? Or what if you can't kill your enemy until you can present clues that they are a worthy adversary or deserving or death, because your lord won't let you? There's honor at stake here. So there's a lot of ways you can use social things for keys. But then there's also things like magic words. If you don't know the words, it doesn't open up the box. Of course, there's physical keys. This really could be as simple as a locked door, though thieves do get a chance to pick locks, or a map to get the place you need to be, or even a person. In one of my current campaigns, the players are on their way to fight the World Ender. And to get through the portal to fight the World Ender, they need to have a little girl named Rose. She's not really a little girl. She's a magical creation. And I don't think any of them are listening to this. If that is the case, block your ears now, but I doubt it. Rose, unfortunately, will be sacrificed when she opens the portal, and it'll tear their little heartstrings out. It's going to be a great time. So I'm going to keep playing Final Fantasy. I just got the airship, which is kind of like the ultimate key. I can zip all over the map now, and there's no more random encounters, and I don't have to worry about where ports are. I just need to find a grassy patch to set it down. Which, even in this feeling, that's still another gate and key. I can't set it down on a mountain or in the forest. And the map's designed in a way to make some areas still hard to access because of that. I can't set it down right next door to a dungeon. I'm going to have to walk a bit as I land in the grass and walk through the woods. But I'm going to keep thinking about the keys in that game and how they can relate to tabletop role-playing games. And how even when we create an open-world sandbox, we can cordon off portions of that and make it easier on ourselves to run and let the players get there when their characters are ready. Thanks for listening to today's episode. If you have any questions about anything I talked about here today or on any past episodes of Dungeon Dorks, go to crumblingkeep.com/question and ask away, or just check the link in the show notes.